Good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for being here. Wonderful singing. And we learned this morning that Don Revelinsky's foster father in Spokane passed away yesterday. His name was Charles Roshan. And there's going to be a service for him. Don will be going over there this week. But we want to express our sympathy to Don this morning and encouragement. This morning I would like to speak about the experience of loneliness in life that can affect us at any time of life, but might be something that is at this time of year especially a feeling that Christians sometimes experience and go through. And I think it's good for us to keep in mind that while many of us are out enjoying this time of year together, shopping and thinking of loved ones and family, there may be some among us even today who are experiencing the pain of loneliness, and that it makes it difficult for them at this time of year. Karen and I, we were at the grocery store yesterday and looking around and seeing the lights and just the mood of people. And Karen said, you know, there's something about this time of year that it really makes it fun to go shopping together. And I think that's very true. And same time, we need to keep in mind that the extent that any of us choose to participate in the Christmas traditions that time of year, this time of year, that it is a personal choice that each person makes. I think we would all agree that the Bible itself doesn't say anything about Christmas. That it is a tradition that goes back to human origins here to effort to celebrate Jesus and His birth coming into the world. But the Bible itself doesn't mention it. And one reason that that is especially meaningful to me is that as I was growing up, my family did not celebrate Christmas at all. But my parents felt that it was better for us to base our faith upon the Bible and strictly, and that they wanted us to understand that it is not taught in the Bible. So we need to understand and appreciate the fact that not everybody participates in that. But it is a personal choice, and we're not to judge one another in that and allow each person to exercise that liberty. But at the same time, the reason that I'm saying this is the main point that I want to make about it is that there are some people who may not be able to do what Karen and I were talking about, being able to going shopping together and just enjoying the time of year because they are alone and do not have a companion to share that with at this time in their life. And the book of Ecclesiastes, which Michael read this morning, and thank you, Michael, for doing a great job of reading, said that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. And so it is a passage that in the heading of that in the text says, it's talking about the value of a friend. And we can see how it's true that in life, we each need friends, and we each need companions. Loneliness is not something that God really intended for our lives. And yet it's something that happens beyond our control. And when that happens, it's something for us to be compassionate to each other, and maybe to think of taking an extra step to reach out to those individuals and realizing that this is a difficult time for them. I remember several years ago, some of you remember Sally Crone, a member of this congregation, and her husband Roger was about a week before Christmas, was at work one morning, and he had a heart attack and fell and died almost immediately. And I remember that time, how difficult it was for Sally and her family. And then each year after that, it was hard because that reminded them of that time when he passed away. So having friends and being able to enjoy it is a blessing for us all. And we should appreciate the fact that some people, they aren't able to experience that beyond circumstances beyond their own control. Everyone, though, experiences loneliness at some time or other in your life, at various times. It is something that we are all going to experience. It's part of life. And it's a difficult time of life for you to go through that if you truly are alone. Now, as I want to try to point out this morning, there are things we can do to help overcome this. And God gives us instruction in His Word. If we are in that condition, things that we can do to help. And so we'll look at those in a moment. But one of the ways that people find themselves in loneliness is when they are single, before they have gotten married. And of course, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, in the very beginning, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So God saw from the very beginning from this that man needed a companion. And He provided that through marriage, that we can have a husband and wife, and we can be married for life. And Ted and Gretchen just celebrated the 27th year being married. And it's a wonderful thing when we are able to have our mates and we can, like I say, go out and shop together, do things together. That's a wonderful blessing of life. But a person who's single, they don't have a mate at this time yet in their life, and so sometimes they are single. And they may not know when they're going to get married. We can't always control that. One of our daughters, Molly, she was in her 30s when she got married. And so it can be a time where there's a lot of waiting. When am I going to be able to get married and meet the right person and so forth? So we need to understand and appreciate that singles, they do not have someone to go out with and share that experience. But there's another way that sometimes people are very lonely, and even if they are married, they still find themselves lonely. And the reason for that is because maybe the other person is so busy that they don't have time to really invest in the relationship. Or it can be that both of them have their separate careers and they're out working and everyone is so busy, and it's almost like we just come home at night and we see each other for a little bit and then we go back and going to our work. And so it can be true that a person can be married and still actually be very lonely for a lack of companionship or feeling that the other person just doesn't show that to them, that they need that type of understanding or spending time together, taking the time to really build the relationship that we have. So in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter said that husbands likewise dwell with them, that is with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, obviously, being able to dwell together with understanding implies a lot. It says a lot there in that verse that we know each other, we spend time together, we communicate, and we really grow to know what the other person's feelings are happening in their life and caring about them. And we both need to do that, both husband and wife. This is talking to the husbands, but it can be true either way, that marriage is intended, it is designed by God to meet this need in our lives of companionship. And sometimes the very thing that God gave us fails to live up to that because we're so busy with other things, or we just are not sensitive to the needs that our mate has, to try to understand them and communicate and how are you doing today, and do things together that we actually share in our lives together. And that is very important. Another way, though, that sometimes people experience loneliness is when they lose their spouse. That has got to be one of the most difficult experiences of life. And some of you here have gone through that. And we have, you know, we have shared in that and sadness with you and grieving and the loss of your mates. So that is something that is beyond a person's control. When that happens, you suddenly find yourself empty and you miss that person, the one that you have done things with. You have shared your life with that person, and now they're taken away from you. And how do you fill that void? So there's many long days and hours that a person goes through loneliness. And it is something that we'll all probably have to go through at one point or another in life. And honestly, it can also happen through divorce. And some people who have experienced it say that that can be even more difficult, because when a person goes through a divorce, it leaves the other person feeling that they have, you know, that they have been rejected, or maybe feeling guilt or failure in their life. It's very difficult either way, to lose a mate through death or through divorce, and you find yourself alone. That other person is no longer there. And my mother-in-law, June Ormerod, over in Bremerton, Silverdale area, we try to reach out with her as much as we can, because she lost her husband to cancer, my father-in-law, Art, back about 18 years ago. And so she's been living all those years now alone, by herself. And she still keeps herself busy and is faithful in her worship and things there in the congregation. But still, the Bible says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. God gives a special place for widows and widowers that have lost a loved one and they're alone. And we might have some of those here this morning that we need to be encouragement to them this time of year, because they don't have anyone to share with. The other group of people that we think about are the elderly people who now are in the last part of their life, and they are alone. It may be that they are shut in, even that they cannot get out and go and be at services and be around other people. Or it may be that they're weekly during the week, that is a lot of their life is spent that way. So we need to be considerate. The Bible says that in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And it's speaking here about our parents. Could be a situation that as our parents are growing older, we need to provide for them. It might be financially or emotionally, but to help take care of them, help provide for them. It might be they need medical help or physical care in some way. But it goes to show that older people need companionship, and sometimes they do not have it because they may have lost their mate earlier in life, and they're going through a different lonely time in life at this point in their life. The point that I want to emphasize to us this morning is that it is not a sin to be alone. That if it is something beyond your control, unless you have not accepted the help that God gives us, God provides ways for us that when we are in this, there's things we can do. And if we reject those and we become bitter and we close up and pull into ourselves and reject efforts of other people, then yes, it could be a sin in that way. But to be alone is not something that you should feel guilty about, or that it is something that you have caused or you're being punished by. You may feel like, why did this happen to me? But nevertheless, it is not a sin for a person to be in that condition in their life. And God is understanding. God understands the difficulties that we go through this time in life. And we need to be appreciative and compassionate to one another. There are things that we can do for one another at this time. As I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about this young man, Officer Jake Gutierrez, who was gunned down in Tacoma this week. And I think we all should be thinking about him, his wife and family at this time, the loved ones that he will not be around. And there's been a number of policemen this year, as we know, that their families will not have them this time of year to be with or ever again. And these men are to be thanked for their service that keep us safe and devote their lives, dedicate their time. What a sad thing, tragic thing that has happened, that another fine young man has died in the line of duty. But nevertheless, we find that in the Bible, there are those in the Bible that went through loneliness. They experienced this, even men of God. And faithful men of God often were lonely in their lives. They went through loneliness as we sometimes do. And one of those was King David. King David, there was times in his life that we read where David was very alone. And he wrote songs and he spoke to God about it. And he called for God to come and help him in those times when he was alone. There were times when he found that King Saul was attacking him. And later on, when his own son Absalom turned against him, that David had to abdicate his throne and go out in the wilderness to survive from the assassination attempt or the overthrow of his government by his own son. And in Psalm 102 and verse 3, David said, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I lie awake, and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." We can see that David here was experiencing loneliness in his life, and it hurt him, and he was going through a difficult time. In Psalm 142 in verse 4, he said, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." I don't know if any of us have ever felt that way, that you are so alone that there's no one who even cares for you anymore. It's probably not true, but it can be a feeling that is very disheartening and despairing to have that experience. Here was David the king, one of the great men of God, a man after God's own heart, and yet he went through loneliness. Jeremiah the prophet is another one that the Bible speaks about who experienced great loneliness in his life. If you have studied the book of Jeremiah, you find that Jeremiah was the lone voice of truth in his day. That he was, as a young man, called by God to be speaking to the nation of Israel at a time of their unfaithfulness, and he spoke faithfully God's word to them for over 40 years of his life. And there were very few, if any, who were listening. It was heartbreaking to Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. He said in Jeremiah 9 and verse 2, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." He looked and he could not find anyone standing for God. Sometimes we might feel that way alone in our society today, that there aren't seem to be anyone else standing up for what is right. And yet, God is still faithful to us. Later in his life, he saw the city of Jerusalem destroyed and the nation conquered by the Babylonians. And the book of Lamentations he writes is a collection of poems that are like funeral dirges about the nation and how the nation has gone down in destruction. And the city of Jerusalem that he loved is lying in ruins. And he said, "For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water. Because the Comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed." It's a sad book, and there are things in it that is encouraging, where God giving comfort to His people, that He still loves us. He still loves His people. But he went through this very feeling of he was alone, and everything that he cared for had gone down in defeat. But in the New Testament, there's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men of all time, who established the church, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, perhaps of all the epistles and letters of the New Testament. And yet the Apostle Paul himself, in the book of 2 Timothy, at the end of his life, had this to say as he was in the prison awaiting execution. He was alone, and he is writing and asking someone to come to him, Timothy. He says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and may the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one spoke with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Well, we see here that Paul was alone in the prison. It was cold. It was the winter time. And he knew that he needed his cloak, his coat, and he wanted to have some of his manuscripts of the Bible that he could read and have things that he could be doing, because he had no one else with him, except for Luke, he says, was the only one. And when we think about being lonely, I think of Jesus when he was on the cross and he cried out and he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And here was God's own Son who came into the world to offer a sacrifice for us that required of him to go on the cross by himself alone. And he cried out in that hour of his loneliness to God. We have a promise in the Word of God that is very precious to us, that is given 4 or 5 times throughout the Bible, where God says to us, as he says, is quoted from in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" And so we have that promise of God. God will never forsake you. He will never leave any of us. And yet, look what happened to Jesus. Jesus was feeling forsaken and lonely while he was on the cross. He went through that on our behalf, that we might never have to go through that in our own life to be without God. So what is the instruction that God gives us? What can we do about loneliness when it happens in our life? God has given us promises of help, where he is able to come and bring something into our life, companionship, when we feel a loss of that. But the first thing that we need to do is to acknowledge that we are lonely, and not gloss over the fact that we're struggling, we're dealing with loneliness, we need companionship, we need friendship. It's all right for us to acknowledge that and to ask God's help, to go to him and seek his help and his comfort in our life. And secondly, we need to accept that help that God gives us. And first of all, by drawing close to God in our own relationship with him, as these verses assure us, that he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God will be with us. He is with us. And we may still feel very lonely inside because of human companionship. But God is the one that in your life, in the center of your life, if God is not there, we are going to be lonely. Even if we have a marriage, even if we have a family, there is a place in your heart and in your life that can only be filled by God. And that will fill up your life and bring comfort and assurance like nothing else will, knowing that God is dwelling within you, that Christ is within you. And take advantage of that. Don't neglect that to build on your relationship with God and receive encouragement from Him daily as you live your life as a Christian. And then we need to rely upon God's Word. God has given in His Word abundant help and promises to us. Encouragement for us, promises that are precious promises, exceeding in great promises, as He says in the book of Hebrews, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And as we study God's Word, we begin to realize all the help that is there for us. That we have the church. God has provided the church as a family. And as we live our lives, we can be active in the church. We can stay connected with people. And as the book of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is something that we have control over. That we can choose to be active, we can choose to be involved with other people. We can choose to be faithful in our attendance and our participation in the services. And there's great encouragement and comfort that we get out of that, knowing other people, being associated with the family of God, so that even if we are in a place of loneliness otherwise through our home life or our family, we can still be connected with other Christians. And God has provided that for us so that we will not be alone in life. We need to take advantage of it. We need to reach out. As Jesus said, to love one another, to be ready for good works to one another as we live our lives and seek to be pleasing to God. God loves us and cares for us even in these times that are difficult for us to go through. I want to say as we come to the close of this lesson that ultimately loneliness really is a choice that a person makes in your life, and that in spite of the circumstances that happen beyond our control, we still have the ability to take steps of instruction that God has given us and things that He has provided, that we can avoid much of the harmful feelings of loneliness that we have, so that we can maintain an emotional and a spiritual health of our life. God is not going to forsake us. And there are other Christians who we can be connected with and be a part of in their life. And we can pray and God can bring new people into our life and friends that we can have. So it's our response really to loneliness that really determines the quality of life that we are going to have. We still have control over much of this. And so we need to encourage one another to see that hope that God gives. In the Bible, God talks about us as being the saints. It's always in the plural. And it's meant to convey to us the idea that we are part of one another. We're connected with one another. And we need to take advantage of that and be a part of the family of God that God has provided for us. So my encouragement to all of us this morning is to remember that Christ has come into the world, that He has given His life for us. He was willing to go through a time of life where He cried out, "Why has God forsaken me? Why have you left me alone?" And yet He did it for us so that we can know that God is with us, whatever happens in life. And we can accept that and be obedient to the gospel and have the forgiveness of our sins and know that we are in Christ, where we have a home in heaven and we're part of the family of God that will never be taken away. This morning, then, if you're here and subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we're going to extend to you the offer, the opportunity to come forward today. If you have not become a Christian, to confess your faith in Jesus, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll be raised up a new person to walk in newness of life with the Lord and be a part of His family. So if you're subject in any way today, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been killed to the cross.